first year or so of leadership, we got this reaction from people saying, thank you for talking about it. And so we sort of felt we had a duty to. I've talked more about my whole life as a carer because I lost my father when I was four. So mum was widowed age 36 with three boys under 10. But then she got ill. She, when I was nine, she told us she's got breast cancer. She had a mastectomy. My middle brother nursed her till she died when I was 15. So I was a young carer. And then we had our first child, John. And we realised after about a year that he was going to be severely disabled. So I've had a caring in different ways in my life. And it's quite clear that millions of other people do.
We're not unique in any shape or form. But this story or this, what happens to people when they haven't, is never told. It's never spoken about. It's, you know, people just get on with it. A lot of the thing about being a carer is it's absolutely exhausting. It's physically exhausting. It's emotionally exhausting. By the end of the day, you're finished.
So it's been part of your identity, really, ever since you were a boy, having to care for your mum from the age of it. That must have been really hard.
I never thought of it sort of like that as a carer. You don't think you're a carer. It's your mum. You don't think you're a carer. It's your nana. Yeah. You don't think you're a carer. It's your son. You just do it. And millions of families just do it without identifying themselves as carers. Because you're doing it because you love them.
I know you talk about how much help you get, but what does a day in the Davey household look like when it comes to juggling your job, because you've got a big job, your job, and looking after John?
First thing sort of starts about 5:36, and I hear John calling for Daddy. So he first said the word Daddy when he was nine, which was quite a big day. Before that, it would just be shouts, but now he says Daddy.
What's it been like? Because the thing that occurs to me about this is that you have lots of caring duties for John, you both work in, and then you have an election campaign. And election campaigns are bonkers. You're out all over the country every day. How has that been?
The key thing is that John is driven by routine. And although he hasn't got his daddy there, and that he finds that quite difficult to understand. Mm. As long as I'm following the routine, and he has half the day spent doing lessons and the other half the day doing activities.
Emily, when Ed lost his seat, mm-hmm. and then decided to go back into Parliament and then become the leader, given that you have John to care for and also your MS, was there part of you that didn't want him to do it? Because there was so much care and responsibilities at home.
We met through politics, so I could see that if I sat there saying, oh, well, what about me? What about the... No, that doesn't... We both have a Liberal Democrat vision, and how are we going to achieve that?
It was a joint decision.
It was a joint decision,
We sat down and talked about it.
You're not going to become Prime Minister. I just hate to break it to you, but the chances are...
You're a tough one, aren't you?
The chances are you're not. But is that what you want to do in the next Parliament, to put social care, home care, bereavement at the heart of Liberal Democrat policies? And is that what you would like to propose to whoever might become Prime Minister, and it's likely to be Keir Starmer, that you do cross-party work on this?
Well, certainly Liberal Democrats will champion the health service, social care, carers, and people like bereaved families. That's absolutely, the party wants to do that, and I want to lead the party doing that. We have said in our manifesto that although we put a very ambitious package forward, and it really is, I think, quite ambitious, even that's not big enough to what we're going to need with the demographic trends, people getting older and living longer, there being more adults of working age who can't work. So this is a big issue, long-term issue. And so we said there should be a cross-party commission, a bit like happened under Andrew Dilnot, people going back a little while, but some proper work where people come around the table and say, we have to do this, there are consequences, but we're all going to sign up to it. And I think if you don't do that, you won't get the political commitment, you won't get the consensus, and you won't bring people with you.
For both of you, for John, he's now 16, what do you hope for his future?
Well, I'm afraid I'm not very good at looking into the future. I tend to be, I can work about one day ahead, one week ahead.
I mean, the first thing is to enable him to be as independent as he possibly can be and be the wonderful boy and man that he can be.
It must be really hard. Is that the hardest thing?
I think about it quite a lot, the financial side. But who's going to really care for him? Because, I mean, I think any parent would say this, no one's going to care for him like we do. I mean, there'll be some wonderful carers out there, I'm sure, who look after their patients very much, but no one's going to hold him like we hold him.
That's why it's easier just to focus on the immediate, isn't it? And the practical. And you can have all sorts of legal ideas. I'm also a solicitor. I've trusts and all of that, but actually, it's what you've got to have as a caring community, a caring society, and that's our best, that's the best hope for the future.